Hello and welcome to Flutzes and Waxels, a figure skating podcast to satisfy all of your skating news, analysis, and recap needs. I'm Mary Margaret Mertzos.
And I'm Alicia Mertzos, and we're sisters with a lifelong love for figure skating, practicing, watching, and discussing. So let's delve deep into what's happened in the skating world this week.
So this past weekend was the Four Continents Championships, which is always a small one in an Olympic season, but made even more so this time. This might be a quicker recap than especially Europeans last weekend,
yeah,
just because we were nowhere near short programs or short program cutoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of that is normal for an Olympic year, but this was a small one.
Some of that is also just normal for four continents, period.
True, but normally the singles, we have one or two people who don't make the free skate.
We did not even approach that.
Yeah.
However, there are enough men who showed up here that either skated really well or should have skated better that we're going to talk about.
Yes. Yeah. There were definitely some good skates. And a lot of this is, you know, the end of the season for a lot of these skaters because there weren't many skaters competing here in any discipline who are also going to the Olympics, which makes sense. It's in like a week and a half and you do not want to risk getting COVID. We'll talk about those exceptions. We did have not as many withdrawals as from Europeans due to COVID, at least, you know, that we've heard of so far. There was in the men, Wesley Chu wasn't able to come because he tested positive, and it's a shame Canada didn't announce alternates so that somebody else could have had the opportunity, but too late for that. And then it wasn't due to COVID, but Harrison Jianyan Wong from Hong Kong also had to withdraw after the short program due to injury, which was a shame. But across all disciplines, that was about it in terms of, I think there was one more anonymous COVID case, and it, you know, probably wouldn't have been a skater because everybody finished competing, but maybe from an official or somebody, the IOC wasn't clear. But much better than Europeans. Hopefully that's the case, you know, a couple
moving
weeks
forward.
Down.
Yeah. Well, and we were also helped by the fact that, hilariously, in spite of the fact that this being in the same city, in the same arena 1 week later, seven people showed up to watch Four Continents.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard thing, though, is, you know, it was in Tallinn again because China was originally supposed to host Four Continents this season and then canceled, as they've canceled a lot of skating competitions.
As they've canceled everything except for the Olympics.
Basically. And it was good that Tallinn was able to take it on, but I mean, there's no hometown skaters for people to come out and see. Their smaller rosters. We don't have most of the top names.
I was
going to
say, it's
mostly
B teams.
Yeah. And so it's not that surprising that we saw a smaller crowd here. In a lot of ways, I think it's good that hopefully there's less exposure going on.
Absolutely. It is in everybody's best interest for there to be seven people in the audience. It was just hilarious that 5 days apart, because that's how much time there was between the end of Europeans and the start of Four Continents, all of those people, because the rink was full for Europeans, basically.
At least the lower levels.
Yeah, was basically completely empty for Four Continents.
Yeah.
But skaters like Junhuan Cha and Brendan Carey, who are two, they're going to the Olympics. Brendan Carey hasn't been announced, but he's going.
Yeah, well, let's put a pin in Team Australia for a moment, because that's a decision that I absolutely do not understand.
No.
But let's start with our winner here, Junhuan Cha from Korea, who, while not perfect, had a really fantastic competition here. He, even before this competition, was announced on the Olympic team, and it makes sense. He's been the strongest Korean man for the last couple of years. I mean, hopefully all goes well and this is just, you know, a good building block for him and he doesn't get COVID. But yeah, Team Korea sending their Olympic teams to four continents a week and a half before
they need to be at the Olympics having tested negative multiple times seems unnecessarily risky.
And it's one thing for the women because Korea's not in the team event. So that's the first event happening at the Olympics, so they don't have to worry about that. The women are closer to the end of the Olympics, so they at least have a little more wiggle room, but the men are the second event out. And so I don't really get why Team Korea was here. I was glad to see them. I always enjoy watching them skate.
We haven't seen a ton of them this season, so I was glad to see them here, but yeah, worried the whole time that your top three skaters in your Olympic disciplines are here instead of hiding in a bubble trying to not get COVID.
I mean, as great as it was to see Jun Hwan Cha win here and have a fantastic set of skates, it would just be a real letdown if, you know, this couldn't be the lead up to a really solid Olympics for them. Because if he could skate like he did here, he could absolutely be one of those guys, you know, pushing for a podium spot. The free was a little shakier than the short program. The multiple quads is still seemingly a bit of a shakier thing for him. He's not going for as many as he was two seasons ago at this point. But clearly the short program is a really strong program for him. And I love, this is maybe one of my favorite men's programs of the season. I think it's really well-structured and choreographed. And because he can do a triple lutz, triple loop, having only one quad in the short program is more than enough.
Yeah, he takes advantage of everything that he is good at in the short program, both in terms of the technical layout and in terms of the choreography and the structure of the program and the way, for example, the step sequence is laid out. It really shows off what he's good at.
I think it's really smart in a lot of ways that I don't know if other people made this connection, but it definitely leapt out for me, was his short program from a couple seasons ago to Cinderella when we had the clock arms with the step sequence there when, you know, it's hitting the stroke of midnight. And here, it's obviously not the same, but we've still got that clock motif going.
Yep.
That was a really successful short program for him. And I think it's smart to pay homage to a program that did really well for him while feeling completely different, even though, you know, there's still that little bit that seems familiar about it. It is very much its own new program.
Yeah, it just pulls in again everything that he's good at and what made that program great while being fresh and new and exciting.
Yeah.
Which is so hard to achieve.
And even still, doing a warhorse like Turandot for the free skate is a risk, because even though it's great music, it's done so often that, you know, it's hard to live up to. A lot of fantastic programs have been done to this music.
He's going to be competing against many, many a skater who has done it very well.
Yep.
So, yeah, having a really strong program to a warhorse in an Olympic season either goes really well or backfires, and this is the former.
Yeah. Yeah, I think here, because he opened up with a fall on the quad toe, I had a moment of, uh-oh, is this going to go terribly? Luckily, he absolutely got it together by the second half. And the, you know, choreo sequence at the end, I think, is just fantastically choreographed. And even with some shaky jumps in the very beginning of the program, it ended much stronger than it began. And I hope that this is... That's the other thing, when it's so close to the Olympics, the Sand Europeans, I always wonder, for the skaters who have a really great competition at either of those, are you peaking too soon? And, you know, the Olympics are going to be a letdown compared to this. So if you, you know, make a mistake or two at four continents, it gives you room to still improve and do even better at the Olympics.
Yeah, you don't have that, I was so close to perfection, I have to be at least that good at the Olympics. This gives him that, well, if I do this or better, that would be great. Which is a mental exercise that everybody who competed in the last 2 weeks is going to be playing with, on top of the pressure and the stress of the Olympics in a normal year, let alone this year. But this does set him up really, really well to potentially be one of those guys on the podium.
And I mean, the trouble is there's so many of those guys that I don't even want to try and predict who's going to be on the podium, but he could be in there.
Yeah, he's in
the mix. He could be second, he could be 12th, depending on how he is and how everybody else is.
There is no point in making predictions in men's figure skating.
Yeah, we're not even going to try. We'll just wait and see what happens. Second, we had another really fantastic skate here from Kazuki Tomono from Japan, who is not going to be going to the Olympics. And so for him, I think this was a really excellent capper to his season that has been really a strong one overall. He has had some consistency issues, but far fewer than he has in the past. And so hopefully this is a sign that we're getting over that hurdle of trying to add multiple quads in to both programs and being able to land them pretty consistently and perform the way he's always been capable of.
Yeah, this was really exciting, not only on the technical front where, you know, he did three quads in that free skate. Only one of them went off without a hitch, mm-hmm. but he did rotate three quads and do two triple axels in the second half.
And I was about to say, those two triple axels in the second half were what really had me worried, because yep. earlier in the season, they were giving him trouble. And he ended stronger than he began as well, similar to Junhwan Cha.
Yeah, and it was really a fantastic build, and it really helped this free skate,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't bad before, mm-hmm. but with, you know, him struggling to get the triple axels in the second half done, it was falling a little bit flat. But when he did it, it had so much more power than it has up to this point, which mm-hmm. was really exciting.
And same with the short program. That's been a bit more consistent for mm-hmm. him, but here, all three of the jumping passes just look totally consistent and solid. And I would have had him and Cha a little bit closer after the short program, I think, especially since Tomono did have a bit of that vase value advantage due to doing two quads in the short program.
Yeah, the difference was really in that PCS mark. Mm-hmm. And frustratingly, we're going to talk about this more as we go through the entire competition, but mm-hmm. even in this men's event, we're going to talk about the PCS scoring a fair bit, because it was, I don't see where some of the scores came from, and this is one of the examples of that.
Yeah, been kind of the trend of this season, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But yeah, even still, he did make, he really struggled on two of the three opening quads in the free skate.
Yes.
And so I think when you add the two programs together, I think second makes sense overall, yeah. as a result for him. And this is still a huge score. He got nearly 270 here. And I think setting himself really well up for next season.
Even potentially for Worlds, if one of the mm-hmm. top three guys decides not to go to Worlds after the Olympics.
That is true.
He has set himself up to be a really solid next choice.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a fantastic outing for him and for all the Japanese guys. The three of them finished back to back to back. Kao Miura was our bronze medalist here from Japan. And he as well, considering that he is still so young and was one of those guys who really, I think, was hurt by COVID impacting his junior career.
Yeah.
He has not had much international experience at all. And I think you could see the nerves in him a little bit here. But the fact that he was able to skate as well as he did through those nerves to get on the podium in a tough field, a pretty well-skated field, I think really speaks to his potential as well.
Yeah, and in spite of the nerves that you could see a little bit, he kept it mostly well together. We had mm-hmm. some spin issues.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think where it was more evident than anywhere else, he's never had the best spins, but the spins were really not good here.
And it was a little frustrating to watch because it was the flying camel in both programs mm-hmm.
yeah.
that he had major issues with. And again, he's never been the best spinner, but he normally gets away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to imagine it was nerves and that this will be a really good learning experience for him mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, what he did was really solid if you just don't ignore watch the spins.
Yeah. Yeah, the spins were the one sticking point where you watch that and you go, okay, no, you're not on the level of most of the other guys in this yeah. entire competition on the spin levels. We need to really drill those. But jump-wise, I mean, he's always been a strong jumper, and the consistency in the jumps has really improved this season and last.
Yeah, and even just his ability to fight for a not-so-great landing mm-hmm. has really improved since we were watching him on the JGP what feels like an eternity ago
mm-hmm.
where, you know, it wouldn't be a great landing and he was more likely to fall out of it than he is now.
Yeah.
And that's a really positive sign for the next 4 years for him
mm-hmm.
because he's one I do expect to see climb the ranks a little bit over the next 4 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You can see the technical base is there in terms of the jumps. And I think so far, most if not all of the programs I've seen from him, they seem to really know what they're doing in terms yep. of giving him big, intense, dramatic music that he can perform well to, that, you know, shows off his good sides, like his speed and power, while hiding a little bit. You know, it's not nuanced performance. that isn't really his strong suit. And, you know, obviously as time goes by, it'd be good to develop that. But I think for now, he and his team have shown that, no, we know how to show him off to his best.
To give him something a little big and bombastic to emphasize the quality of the jumps, especially.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, this was a great outing for him, and being on the podium and in the middle of his two teammates here was also a win. But this was also a great outing for Sena Miyake from Japan, who finished in fourth. He is another one who is a little older than Miura, but hasn't had as much international competition of late. We did see him a decent amount as a junior.
Yeah.
But he, between this and Japanese nationals, has shown some real consistency. Sometimes the jump landings aren't quite as nice and clean as I'm sure he would like, but he clearly fights for every single one of them and didn't really make any major mistakes at either of these competitions.
And he also has a team that has built programs that suit him really well.
Yep.
I really like both of these programs. We talked about them a bit at Japanese Nationals because I do think they, like Kamiura, cover up some of the weaknesses that he has in, you know, the nuanced performance. We're going for big and bombastic to show off what he's good at, which works really effectively.
Yeah, he also has great speed and power, but has a bit better, you know, depth of edge and edge control. Yeah. Like the short program step sequence is, I think, is a really great moment for him. He's also a bit of a better spinner, although he isn't going for, you know, as many quads as Miura. So that's, you know, kind of the difference for him was, you know, technical base value isn't quite as high. And again, on things like the quad sows, he clearly had to fight for the landings. He got them done, but, you know, we could have more GOEs if they were a little easier on the landings.
Yeah, this panel was pretty lenient and he still wound up with negative GOE on a good few jumping passes between the two programs. And that was really, at the end of the day, the difference.
Yeah.
If he had done this layout barring a second triple-triple, because he only did in the free skate the triple axel Euler triple sow and then had two double toe combinations with some nicer quality on some of the jumps, and that what I assume was intended to be a triple lutz triple toe in the second half, he would have been really
much
contending
closer, at least.
Yeah. With Kawamura. I don't know how it would have shaken out. I can't predict that because I don't understand the scoring that the judges do half the time, but they would have been much closer together.
Yeah, this has been two really great competitions back to back. And for him as well, since this is, I think, probably about the end of his international season, I hope this is confidence building going up into next season. And who knows if and who might retire from Japan next season. But, you know, it'll be crowded even if there are a few retirements. Yeah. So having this, you know, strong capper to your season is always a good thing.
But speaking of next season, we need to be... We need to be smarter next season because we have talked about this before. We talked about how we were not sure that this definitely happened at Japanese Nationals, but we had it confirmed this weekend.
Yeah, the camera angles weren't super clear at Japanese Nationals, but they were here that, yes, he ends his program laying on the ice, dying on ice, as it used to be called. He is not the only one this season, but not a single panel has called it a fall.
No!
Between him and Adelia Petrosian.
And we checked the handbook. It is still in there that it is prohibited
to lie on the ice.
That is prohibited. You can't
explicitly.
Yeah. There are, we've talked about like the double knee slides and the lifting your leg to slide on one knee and how that,
or even the cartwheels.
Yeah. And how that technically isn't allowed, but it walks more of a line. This is explicit. You may not lie on the ice. This was banned in the 80s.
And yet we're bringing it back and not a single panel all season has done anything about it. And every time I see it and I think, but it's illegal though. He's clearly, and this isn't one we talked about at Japanese Nationals because it was hard to see, like they cut away the camera angle really quick. Like, is he just in a really extreme knee bend and he's not actually lying on the ice, but it kind of looks like it. No, he's full out lying on the ice.
Almost identical ending position to with Adelia Petrosian. Like the full, like, head
out,
on arm.
Dying on ice, a la figure skating in the 80s. There's a a thing on YouTube, a fluff piece from the 80s about how it was banned because
it's
cheesy. If
you search Death on Ice,
yes,
that is the name of the fluff piece from the late 80s when this was banned. It was banned and it was a thing,
mm-hmm.
and they never unbanned it.
Mm-hmm.
So why... My question to the panel, and specifically the referee, is what are you doing? Do you not know the rules?
I mean, clearly. Or we just don't care.
And my question to Sunamiyake and co, why would you bother taking this risk?
Yeah. But especially, again, we've had this conversation before, and there are, you know, some trends in skating that I might like them or might not, but this is one dying on ice. We're like, no, I'm not for this.
We killed it in the 80s for a reason.
Exactly. It just, you're just splayed out on the ice, collapsed. Even like an extreme deep knee bend with an arched back and arms back. There are lots of skaters who do that, and it's clearly an intentional ending pose. This is just, I'm tired, I'm going to lie down on the ice now.
If we look at dance teams who have done Swan Lake of mm-hmm. late, Wang and Liu did a dramatic,
yeah,
quote-unquote death.
And to be fair, that's easier when you have a partner to hold you up, but still.
But you could do something very similar by yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then even if you fell over and covered it up, I'd still question whether it's worth it, but it would at least make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we're doing something that is, again, explicitly prohibited,
mm-hmm.
and nobody cares, except for us. We're the only ones yelling about it.
Yeah, it's been frustrating us all season, and I'm sure we'll continue to, but...
No. End it this season.
Well, the only thing, if like Petrosian goes to Junior Worlds, that's why I say it has the potential to continue, because
that had better be the last time. I don't want to see this again. I do not like this trend.
Mm-hmm.
And if Congress, can we just confirm that this is still banned at the Congress this year?
Write it down even more explicitly, or reiterate, yes, no more dying on ice. It is a fall deduction if you die on ice at the end of your program.
Because I don't want to see more of this next year.
No.
It is not appealing. I don't like it. I'm glad we got rid of it in the 80s instead of keeping it.
Yes. That is my only qualm about his skate.
But that's what he leaves us with.
Yeah.
Because that's how he ends the free skate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Everything up until that point is so great. That don't leave me with, ugh, I hate the sending post.
And why didn't you get a fall deduction? You should have gotten a fall deduction for that.
Yeah. Let's move on to fifth place here. We had Mikhail Shaidorov from Kazakhstan. And it was really good to see him showing what he's capable of here. We talked about him way early this season when he won maybe a surprise medal at a JGP. I don't remember which one now off the top
of my head.
One of them. But he had a really fantastic outing here and just looked totally solid and confident in all of his jumps.
Yeah, he has always been capable of really good things, but we haven't seen a lot of him, so we haven't seen his best up to this point. And so for him to come out and do two solid programs, the short program was definitely the weaker of the two, ironically not so much on the jump elements, but on the leveled elements.
He's another one who needs to work on his spins, for sure. You can tell the focus has been on the jumps.
Yeah, and that's really what kept him behind the Japanese guys for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is just base value compared to Kalmura. It's lower a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leaves him, when we're comparing guys who don't have great spins, that's one of the things that leaves him a little bit further behind.
Well, that, and also to be fair, you know, the basic skating doesn't have as much speed and flow as some of the Japanese guys, especially, for example, his... You know, he has moments, especially for me, I think the short program is a pretty good vehicle for him performance-wise. The free skate, it comes in and out, I think, because, you know, there's so much attention paid to the jumps.
Yeah.
But the jumps looked, for the most part, so solid. It was a shame about the very last one went awry. But everything up until that point in both programs, you can tell that he is a very confident jumper, including two quad toes in the free, two triple axels in the second half of the free skate. This guy's got a lot of potential, and it's really good to see, you know, more Kazakh skaters coming along who have the potential to make a splash internationally.
Yeah, and with, again, more time and experience, he could be a really incredible skater. The pieces are all there, we just haven't put them together yet.
Yeah, this was a great outing for him, though, and to be so high in, again, a pretty well-skated field. Not the as deep as it might have been in a non-Olympic year, but still a pretty stacked field. This was a great outing for him.
And considering it was largely the B teams from most countries, these skaters are still very technically capable.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for someone as inexperienced as him to do as well as he did under this pressure was really fantastic.
Mm-hmm. In sixth, we had Brendan Carey from Australia. And again, I haven't seen it officially announced, but surely he's going to be the one going to the Olympics. Surely he was going to be the one going even before this competition.
Surely there was no question. I mean, if we look at the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Or even just this competition.
Yeah.
We had him in sixth, and then our other two Australian skaters, 15th and 16th here. Even before this, it shouldn't really have been a question. I really don't think we needed to send all of Team Australia to four continents to decide.
Have a skate off.
Yeah, to have a skate off to decide who gets the Olympic spot. I get that, and my understanding is that this was like the decision from the beginning of the season when everybody thought, oh no, everything's going to be fine. We're going to have a totally normal season.
But we can reevaluate when things change.
Yeah. Because I mean, Brendan Carey also didn't have a totally clean competition here, but it was still quite solid. And overall, he is one of those guys who we've talked about in the past, failure of jump math being an issue. He has clearly learned from those issues, and he had to flex those jump math muscles, unfortunately, in the free skate. I think it really took a toll on the overall performance, but he did successfully jump math his free skate, which for me is a win at the end of the day.
And you could see him jump mathing on that last jump.
Exactly.
Which was so funny. Watching him panic and be like, oh, right.
I can't do a double toe, and I'm not going to be able to get a triple toe. Let's do a turn and then a double loop. And you know what? That was the correct decision.
Or alternatively, you could have done an Euler.
Yes. That would have been the other option.
Which, based on the landing of the triple Lutz and the panic that it took him, he should have done an Euler and probably then a double sow.
But overall, again, there were things that clearly went awry. I strongly suspect the triple sow at the second jumping pass was meant to be a quad. But even still, you popped it to a triple and it was a decent enough one. We got three combinations in. We didn't Zayak. He got the job done in both programs. Again, I think him doing jump math in his head the entire time really, for me, impacted the performance of the free skate. But his basic skating is strong enough that he did just fine here. And it never... Why we're putting pressure on him at the last minute, like a week and a half before the Olympics, to earn your Olympic spot is just silly to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And I get that there was a possibility that particularly James Min could have been incredible here.
Mm-hmm.
And I am assuming that's why they were leaving it open. But at the same time, even if James Min was incredible here, was that really going to ultimately change the decision? I don't know that it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
Unless James Min was incredible and Brendan Carey happened to bomb.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too, because... And this is the hard thing about four continents is in an Olympic season, and especially this year, there is, again, like literally we're a week and a half approximately away from the start of the team event at the Olympics. Like there, we are down to the wire. These skaters should be preparing to, you know, to go to the Olympics and avoid getting COVID and be ready to compete there. And he's not in the team event, but again, men are first up after the team event. It's in like 2 weeks.
And even in the normal Olympic season, you don't send your Olympic team to four continents because you don't want to risk them getting injured training for four continents.
And I mean, some countries will, like Korea often does. Japan and China have in the past, but...
Korea demands that their skaters compete more than they should. It's caused Junhwan Cha issues in the past where they've had him overcompete when we all knew he was going to Worlds.
Yeah.
And it's caused problems, but we don't learn from past mistakes.
Yeah, or especially other people's past mistakes. I have not seen it officially announced, but because, I mean, the men's free skate just happened this morning.
Yeah.
But surely Brendan Carey is going. And if he can skate anything like this, I think he'll do quite well.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some things that we can clean up here, but this was not a bad competition for him at all.
Hopefully, now that we've made the jump math mistake, we now know what the jump math is if you do this again.
Well, or I think more importantly, ironically, because this also isn't going to be his first Olympics, yeah. There will probably be far less pressure on him at the Olympic Games than there was right here. So
that's true.
Hopefully we'll see better from him.
I imagine, on top of even if we take out qualifying for the Olympics, mm-hmm. he probably knew he could have medaled here.
Yeah.
Based on who was here. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen at the Olympics. He's very good. I don't think, unless true chaos happens, that yeah. he's going to medal at the Olympics. So make the free skate and then see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Seventh place, we had Sihyung Lee from Korea. He's the other Korean man going to the Olympics. And it's a real shame that he was having so much trouble with the quad sows here. Yeah. He's another skater who has really grown and improved, particularly, you know, this season and what we saw from him of last season. He had some really great moments here, but the quad sows to open both programs just went so wrong that you could tell it took a lot out of him.
Yeah, it's tough. I understand wanting to go for the quad sow, but he does everything else so well mm-hmm. that particularly in the short program, I would love to see him not do a quad in the short and just go for a gorgeous, clean, slightly easier program, do a triple flip. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, at the same time, the quad sow has been going better for him yeah. this season. And so this was more unusual than usual for him this season. So I get why he was going for it. And I mean, even with a not great quad sow in the short program, he still scored nearly 80 points. And that would probably still be enough to get him into the free at the Olympics. Yeah. So I get trying. It's more the kind of scary fall that he had in the free skate, that if you have one of those, well, it's amazing he recovered as well as he did from that.
And that's more my concern, mm-hmm. is that that's going to be a very high-pressure situation for mm-hmm. him. He's still very young. The quad sows have been better than they are right now, but they've never been the most consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a really scary fall in that free skate.
Yeah.
So especially in the short program where you only have three jumping passes and you have to recover so quickly. Maybe this was a fluke and we'll learn from this. Mm-hmm. But
there's also not a lot of turnaround time, unfortunately.
Exactly. So consider.
Yeah.
Consider doing just triples in the short program.
Then again, for him as well, he's another one who maybe went into this competition thinking, hey, maybe I can get on the podium.
That's true.
And then you go to the Olympics and that's less forefront of your mind.
Everybody's looking at Junhwan Cha.
Exactly. Not to mention all the other top names. Yeah. This will be his first Olympics, so there's that pressure there. But again, he's also not, you know, the front runner from mm-hmm. his own country. So maybe that will help. Can only hope so.
Yeah.
Eighth here, we had Tomoki Iwatashi from the U.S. And while it was good to see him here, we didn't see him at Nationals because he had COVID.
He was clearly underprepared for this event.
Yeah, this was a bit of a frustrating one because obviously, again, he had COVID like 2 weeks ago and wasn't able to go to Nationals. And whether he was symptomatic or not, I don't know, mm-hmm. but he wouldn't have been able to train properly
exactly.
because he was positive. And yet we're still going for two quads in the short program, three in the free skate with one in the second half. And it didn't really go great. And I just watch it thinking, well, I'm not surprised it didn't go great because apparently even he was saying, no, I was undertrained coming into this because I didn't have that much time.
And I mean, even when he was trained, the quads weren't going very well.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I'm a little surprised it went as well as it did.
Yeah.
Because he has been really struggling to get multiple quads into his programs.
Mm-hmm.
They were going okay when he was just doing one quad per program and even better when he was a junior and couldn't do them in the short program. I miss Junior Tomoki because it really, when I watch him at his best, the jumps are ancillary. They're not why I'm watching him. It's everything else that he does so well, and also the quality of the triple jumps that he does. But when we have really bad quad toes. Because the quad sows were not bad.
Yeah, it was the quad toes really giving him fits here.
And they went really badly.
Yeah.
In both programs. And they have been all season.
Mm-hmm. And again, with your lack of preparation time, is it really likely that they would go better than they have all season?
Exactly.
At a minimum, when you have less preparation time.
And so, at a bare minimum, why we didn't put the quad toe first so that we can do the combination first.
Yeah.
And then if you downgrade and fall on your opening quad toe in the short, you can do the combination either with the quad sow or...
Or a triple.
Or do a triple lutz triple toe,
mm-hmm.
because Tomoki can do a great triple lutz triple toe. Part of it is the strategy. Part of it is how the quads have been negatively impacting the program all season. I didn't enjoy him as much as I wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, there were moments. There's still, you know, like my favorite combination of his, the triple axel Euler triple flip in the free skate, that went just fine. And again, the triples aren't a problem. It's the quads that are really... causing him issues. And we'll see what he decides to do next season. And who knows, maybe, you know, with some training time over the summer and being more used to this layout, maybe that will improve. And I hope so. But I'd really love to see... There's always glimpses of Junior Tomoki in his programs. And I always just want for more.
Yeah, I don't know why this is the layout we're doing. Because he hasn't done it successfully all season.
Yeah, and the likelihood of him doing it here was even less than it has been all season.
Exactly! So. And so we didn't get to enjoy any of his really nice jumping passes because they didn't start until he was exhausted and just trying to get through it. We only got two combinations in.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, he did still wind up the top American man here, but that was partially due to the other guys also making some major mistakes less than his strengths, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was more about them than him.
Yeah. Ninth here, we had Joseph Fan from Canada, who I was really glad to see has come really close to skating as well as he did at Nationals. Basically, he had one major mistake at Nationals and here.
If you blink during the axel in the short program, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, him and Corey Cercelli, who we'll talk about in a moment, were having some real solidarity with the single axels in the short program.
You couldn't have at least have solidaried on double axels?
Yeah, it's such a shame because the free skate was really solid and confident and even better than the one at Nationals because I think smartly here... they subbed out the final triple lutz, which he fell on at Nationals for a triple loop. And he had a basically clean free skate. The second triple axel wasn't amazing, but he stood up on it. It was fine. And if he'd just done even a double axel in the short program, he might have really been, you know, pushing some of the top guys here. Even still, I think this couple of competitions for him back-to-back has been a really strong end to his season. He's been struggling with consistency and injury for a while now.
This is the best we've seen of him in a good while in terms of more than one competition with two basically good skates.
Yeah. Yeah. And this, I think, is even with the single axel, I think it's still a good way to end his season. And hopefully we can go down more this path next season.
Yeah. And we need to figure out what it's going to take to do a clean short program because that's the only reason he's as far back as he was. He would have been a good few places higher again had he only done a double axel.
I mean, he was sixth in the free skate and who knows if he'd skated later if that would have even been closer to some of the top guys. 10th here, we had Jimmy Ma from the US who it's unfortunate. He started off the season really well with some really solid looking competitions and I definitely thought, oh, are the, you know, quad toes and triple axels like solidified and consistent?
No.
Yeah, unfortunately not. He had some nice moments, but
nothing was coming easy. Even some of the easier jumps were a struggle.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame because he's gone down a more serious, less fun route, which from the beginning of the season we said, okay, great, if you land things.
Yeah.
And we're not getting that when it counts most.
Yeah, especially when the jumps are clearly a struggle. I miss fun Jimmy who would sell a program even if the jumps weren't going well with these more serious programs. He doesn't really have that opportunity to salvage the program. There are moments like, again, the choreo sequence in the free skate I think works really well and is, you know, intense if it's not fun. Maybe it's just also I have never seen Attack on Titan. Maybe if I watched it, I would be more invested in this program, but it kind of needs to stand on its own. You can't rely on your audience having seen the thing you're referencing.
Well, and I mean, even compared to the beginning of the season, I liked the free skate more when things were coming a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And now that he's struggling, it's not as enjoyable.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. He was still the second highest U.S. man.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what I hoped we would get out of Jimmy this season.
And then behind him in 11th, we had Corey Cerselli from Canada, who, as we mentioned, was having solidarity with Joseph Fan with the single axel in the short program.
In spite of that, he was hashtag robbed on the PCS.
Because I do have to say, there was the single axel to open up the short program. And then he opened up the free skate with a triple axel and a quad toe. Stood up on both, neither of them amazing, but he got them done.
He covered them up as well as anybody covered up any of their mistakes.
Exactly. And then the rest of both programs were totally solid and really nice to watch. And you wouldn't really know it so much from, you know,
the way it was scored.
Yeah.
Particularly in the PCS, but also in the GOE on things like the step sequence and the choreo sequence.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know Corey Cerselli and you didn't watch him, he's a nice dancer.
Yeah.
The PCS was weirdly low.
Yeah, and I think these programs really suit him well. Yep. And I mean, again, it's one thing in the short program where he started off with a big major error. The free skate, the jump landings on the first two elements weren't good, but they didn't take away from the program at all. It was a very solid program with two not very well landed jumps to start.
And also I would like to point out that there were multiple people who had rough falls on jumps who got minus fours.
Yeah.
Corey had a step out on a triple axel and like not the worst step out I've ever seen and got a minus four and mostly minus threes.
Mm-hmm.
He was nowhere near falling on that triple axel. He stepped out of it.
Yeah, we haven't pointed them out here and this happened in the women too, but this gives me anxiety thinking about scoring at the Olympics. Where if you look at how many people who fell on a jump and got multiple minus fours on it, like, oh boy.
And
we're
not talking about technical falls where you had it and then you sat down because you caught a rut.
Yeah,
we're talking about true falls, which should be minus fives. And then we have someone like Corey who again casually stepped out on a what was called fully rotated. I wouldn't have called it fully rotated, but it's fine.
Yeah, that is the other thing. This was a pretty lenient panel for the men and the women for rotation calls. Yeah. The women especially. We'll talk about them.
But yeah, the tech panel was not looking very closely at rotation.
Again, makes me anxious for the Olympics upcoming. I can just see. Get ready, folks.
But again, it was called fully rotated.
Yeah.
And he just stepped out and we got only slightly higher GOE than a fall. And then the quad toe, which was downgraded but called under rotated and stood like up on foot.
Stood up on
getting multiple minus fives when those same judges, some of them gave multiple minus fours to falls. I don't understand the and falls on under rotated jumps as well. We're not even comparing apples to oranges. And it's really frustrating because Corey finally did the thing we were yelling at him about at the beginning of the season where recovered.
That's the thing. This, I think, is also a win for him at the end of the day. He recovered really well from mistakes in both programs and in this and at Nationals in the free skate has been able to incorporate both triple axel and quad toe. Not perfectly, but he got them in the program, didn't fall on them, and it didn't affect the rest of the program. So I think that is a huge win for him.
And even though he popped the axel in the short program, he didn't do what he did at his JGPs at the beginning of the season.
And then fall apart.
And just decide it was over as soon as he made a mistake, which is huge and should have been rewarded more than it was.
And then behind him in 12th, we had Camden Pulkkinen.
Oh, Camden.
We jinxed him, I guess, after he had a really fantastic nationals. And we said, what if he could repeat close to this?
As much as we talked about, well, maybe he can. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect him to do it. He has let me down too many times.
Yeah, it's a shame. That was a really, really rough mm-hmm. short program. And the free skate was better. But that was also far from his best. Far from even at nationals, where, yep. lest we forget, it was very good, but still had pops in it. It's not uh-huh. like it was a clean free skate at nationals yeah. either.
The most frustrating to me mm-hmm. was the short program.
Yeah.
Because we didn't jump math
mm-hmm.
at all. He just forgot he can't do two triple toes in the short program unless it's a triple toe, triple toe.
Speaking of GOEs, that hilarious triple lutz, triple toe combination where, again, he, Zayakt, repeated the triple toe, which you're not allowed to do in the short program. 3 -5s, 2 -1s, and 3 0s. And I mean, yeah, the combination was fine in a vacuum, but he's Zayakt. You saw him do a triple toe to open the program. You can't do 2 triple toes in a short program. It's not allowed, unless it's triple toe, triple toe. But yeah. That's not what he did.
No, that's what he should have done.
Yeah.
That's what he should have done. But his brain was not in his head. It didn't show up for the short program.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, he did really smack down on that yeah. axle.
Yeah.
But Camden. We also got 3 level 2s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a disaster.
Yeah. Again, the free skate was better, but still not clean.
And he still got some help. Mm-hmm. It really was not great in terms of quality of a lot of the jumps.
I think he benefited a lot, ironically, from going in the first group yeah. where he was skating after guys who also had really rough skates or just, you know, lower base value plus falls. And then mm-hmm. here comes Camden Polkinen doing okay.
Yeah.
And I think he really got helped mm-hmm. as a result of that.
Yeah, he got some help.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't have needed the help.
Yeah, it's a shame after he had such a good nationals, but all we can hope for is less whiplash of results next season.
What I would like is one clean, actually clean competition yeah. per season.
Mm-hmm.
Because Camden is great when he's solid, but we haven't seen him be clean mm-hmm. since he was a junior.
Yeah. And even then
yeah. it did not happen very often, but it at yeah. least happened once in a while.
Yeah. But yes, that was our top 12. Actually, I did want to give a quick mention to 13th place mm-hmm. here, DS Jiranbayev from Kazakhstan. He's another young guy. He is not going for quads or triple axels, but was one of those guys who basically did what he set out yep. to do, had 2 really nice programs and landing the jumps he was going for. And I'm excited to see not just 1, but 2 young yeah. guys from Kazakhstan living up, you know, the legacy of Dennis Ten.
Yeah, and showing up with some solid technical content
mm-hmm.
and some real potential. I really hope things go well for both of these two and that they can push each other.
Yep, exactly. I think that wraps us up, though, for the men from 4 continents. What was your highlight from this event?
I think I've got to give it to Kazuki Tomono for living up to all of my hopes and doing basically everything he set out to do.
Yeah.
Under some real pressure. This was a high pressure competition for the 3 Japanese guys.
Yeah.
And he did everything he set out to do, which was great to see.
Yep. Similarly for me, I mean, Jun Hwan Cha, especially in that short yeah. program, it was really fantastic. He came really close to 100 points. And I do kind of wonder if he has that same skate or better at the Olympics, will we see him break 100 and, you know,
yeah.
push to be one of those guys fighting for the podium? I could see it.
I honestly would expect it.
Yeah.
We know that scores go up over the course of the season for identical skates.
Mm-hmm.
And this was very close to 100 points.
And I mean, he just won a big competition right
yep.
before the Olympics. That certainly can't hurt.
Exactly. Here's hoping he actually makes it.
Yes. And in terms of the weekly waxel, this was a bit of a tough one, but
we had some choices.
Yeah. Decided to go with Tomoki Hiwatashi's jump layout because I just don't understand
no.
what the plan was. I just you really thought this was going to go well.
Everybody else's mistakes I at least get.
Yeah.
Even if they're still kind of frustrating. But Tomoki's, I genuinely do not understand why we went for 3 quad toes.
Yeah. But that wraps us up for this first part of Four Continents Championships. Thank you all so much for listening. Please let us know your thoughts about this week in figure skating at flutzescast@gmail.com. You can also follow us at flutzescast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for even more skating content.
Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/flutzescast for bonus episodes, and our merch store, flutzescast.redbubble.com. And if you like what we do, consider leaving us a review wherever you're listening. We'll be back shortly with the rest of Four Continents, but until then, keep a watchful eye out for those Flutzes and Waxels, skating fans.